Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, January 9th, 2013. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Idaho lawmakers attend mandatory half-day ethics training session. Moscow Planning and Zoning Commission to hold public hearing on dynamic lighted display signs used for advertising tonight. Friends of the Moscow Library looking for $65,000 for new entrance to the library, and free-ranging bison in Montana upheld. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Grangeville school employees discovered a written note saying a bomb was on the property when they arrived for work this morning before 6 a.m., and both the high school and elementary middle school were closed for the day. Grangeville police responded to the high school, where the written material was found, at 5:49 a.m. According to the Lewiston Tribune website, the Boise Police Department Explosives Disposal Unit arrived at 1:45 p.m., and no further details were available late this afternoon. Four streets near the schools were closed for a short period today as well. All 105 state legislators attended a half-day training session on ethics, dubbed Ethics 101, at the state capitol today. Drake University Character Counts Institute director Scott Raker, a former Republican member of the Iowa House, led the session. An account in the Idaho Statesman quoted Raker telling Idaho lawmakers, "I challenge all of us to raise the bar higher. We need self-discipline. We need to focus on pursuing excellence in what we do." Raker said lawmakers may need to be unafraid to break with legislative tradition if it can create a culture of good public policy. Deputy Attorney General Brian Kane, who participated in the ethics panel investigating Senator Monty Pierce's conflict of interest case last year, also addressed the group. Pierce, who chairs the Senate Resources and Environment Committee, did not disclose he had recently signed a mineral lease on his Payette County land with Snake River Oil and Gas until after he presided over more than a dozen committee votes on the lenient oil and gas drilling rules written by the company and passed into law last year. Pierce was cleared of any wrongdoing by the panel. Kane told lawmakers today, "When you're concerned about whether or not you've taken an action that should be disclosed prior to a vote, I would always err on the side of over-disclosure. A win in court does not translate to a win in public opinion." The Idaho Supreme Court says it will not hear the case of 2009 Coeur d'Alene City Council candidate Jim Brannon, who contested his 3-vote loss to Mike Kennedy. The court ruled unanimously today there is no evidence absentee ballots cast in the election were illegal. Brannon challenged the loss, which was originally by 5 votes, based on irregularities in absentee ballots. After a trial in district court, the difference between the two candidates was reduced to 3 votes after several votes were deemed illegal because the voters were not residents where they voted. The Fremont-Madison Irrigation District is proposing raising the height of the Island Park Dam in southeastern Idaho so the reservoir there can store more water. The Idaho Falls Post-Register reports the Irrigation District has filed a water rights application with the Idaho Department of Water Resources to add 20,000 acre-feet of water to the reservoir. Irrigation District Executive Director Dale Swenson said 14.8% increase in capacity would keep the water supply intact in cases of back-to-back drought years. Washington House Judiciary Committee Chair Jamie Peterson of Seattle says there's bipartisan support for 2 new laws regulating guns, One will increase the legal ability of the state to commit people deemed dangerous, and the other will increase the penalties for juveniles caught with guns. Peterson, who is a Democrat, says because of the defection of two Democrats in the Senate, which has allowed a Republican coalition to take control of the most powerful Senate committees, it will be unlikely any other gun control measures will pass this year in Olympia. The Senate coalition of 23 Republicans and two Democrats will anoint Senator Mike Patton of Spokane Valley chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Patton has an A-plus rating from the National Rifle Association, and as committee chair, he will be able to block or table gun control proposals in the body. Republican Senate Judiciary Committee member Mike Carroll of Lakewood said he wants laws passed overhauling the state mental health care system, including making it easier for people to get the system to take action when a friend or relative has risk factors for possible violence. Although lawmakers generally support reforming mental health in Washington, many are concerned it will cost too much in a year when the state is facing a $900 million deficit. A coalition of six public university presidents in Washington says they will freeze tuition increases for the next 2 years if state lawmakers approve a total of $225 million for their budgets. House Ways and Means Committee Chair Ross Hunter, a Democrat from Medina, told the Associated Press, "Do I think it will be difficult to find $225 million? Yes. But can we continue to do this long-term destruction of the higher education system? No." The proposal comes at a time when lawmakers are struggling to find $1 billion for public K-12 schools to comply with a state Supreme Court ruling on funding for education. State officials are predicting a $900 million budget shortfall for the two-year biennium. Currently, 70% of funding for public college education comes from tuition, and 30% comes from taxpayers. Western Washington University President Bruce Shepard says the presidents of the universities want to return to a 50-50 share between tuition and taxpayers. Associated Students of Washington State University Legislative Affairs Director Tristan Hannon says students were hopeful after the college president spoke to lawmakers this fall. Referring to the funding issue, Hannon said, "I think it's going to be a tough fight, but I think a lot of legislators are starting to realize that this trend of disinvestment needs to stop." The Moscow Planning and Zoning Commission will hold a public hearing tonight on a proposal to regulate dynamic display signs within the city limits. The City Council passed a temporary emergency ordinance last year and directed Planning and Zoning to write a permanent ordinance for consideration. A subcommittee has come up with amendment language for the city's sign ordinance that limits dynamic display signs to 150 square feet in the motor business and industrial zones and 100 square feet in the general business zones. The proposal includes language that says no dynamic display sign shall include any illumination which is flashing or moving, except as allowed for transition between images or displays. Dynamic display shall not use blinking, bursting, distorting, flashing, oscillating, rotating, shimmering, sparkling, streaming, tracing, traveling text, and/or twinkling effects. The proposal would have separate brightness limits for day and night and would require sign displays to not change or move more often than every 8 seconds. The wording of the proposal also includes a provision that dynamic display signs will not obscure or interfere with the effectiveness of any official traffic sign, device, or signal. Tonight's Moscow Planning and Zoning Commission meeting begins at 7:30 p.m. at City Hall. District Judge E. Wayne Phillips in Montana has sided with state officials and environmentalists who want to allow Yellowstone National Park bison to graze in certain areas outside of park boundaries Wildlife officials have mass slaughtered bison at times during the last decade as they ranged outside the park boundaries looking for winter forage at lower elevations. Thousands have died. Ranching interests in Montana had said the bison must be slaughtered to prevent the animals from spreading brucellosis, a disease that causes cows to abort their young to their cattle. However, there has been no known case of bison spreading brucellosis to cattle in the wild, and the federal government reduced penalties on states with brucellosis outbreaks 2 years ago, so Governor Brian Schweitzer blocked the slaughter. Park County and ranching groups sued in 2011, and Judge Phillips issued his 78-page ruling on the case Monday. Phillips wrote, state officials, quote, do not have a statutory duty to ensure that no harm is incurred by a Montana resident by a wild animal. He wrote, damage to fences and private property by bison in the area around Gardner, quote, does not rise to the level of an interference that is both substantial and unreasonable. Tim Preso of the law firm Earth Justice, who represented environmental groups in the case, said this was a key test of the question of will Montana make room for bison? After decades of hazing and slaughtering bison, the state saw there was a better way forward. Park County Attorney Brett Linneweber says plaintiffs have 60 days to decide whether or not to appeal to the state Supreme Court. Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna says he will wait until 2014 before pursuing major education reforms again after his 2011 reforms were soundly defeated in a statewide repeal vote in November's election. Luna told television station KTVB as he left the Capitol after Governor Butch Otter's State of the State speech Monday in Boise, quote, when it comes to educational improvements, it's not a one-year or two-year effort. It's a continual effort. So we'll see things happening this year. We'll see things happening next year. Referring to the possibility of reviving some of the education reforms, Governor Otter had said during his speech, I'm convinced that acting too quickly or without due deliberation will generate needless distraction from our goals of improving efficiency, effectiveness, transparency, and accountability in our education system. Asked about what reforms he might pursue in 2013, Luna said, I agree that you won't see major reform like you did in the form of Students Come First, which was very, very comprehensive, but you will see improvements. Latah County could lose as much as $390,000 per year in tax revenue if the legislature repeals the personal property tax on business equipment with no provisions to replace the money. An Idaho Tax Commission report says the city of Moscow could lose $207,000 in revenue if the proposal being pushed by the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry becomes law. County Treasurer Lois Reed told the Daily News, we're not talking about a small tax change. This is going to be a huge tax change. IACI has a strong lobby. Unfortunately, they're not funded by the small people. They're funded by the big people. Reed said the repeal won't benefit small businesses much, but the larger businesses in the state, like Micron or Simplot, would see big savings. Brett Bennett, who owns Bennett Lumber in Princeton, which pays the highest personal property tax on equipment in the county at $100,000, says he supports the repeal, but he's also concerned counties won't be able to replace the lost revenue. Bennett told the paper, I can see where the taxes are going to have to be made up someplace else. If they stair-step it for a while, I could see it working. The Tax Commission report says the Moscow Urban Renewal Agency could lose 23% of its revenue for the Alturas Technology Park Urban Renewal District and 15% of its revenue for the Legacy Crossing Urban Renewal District. That amounts to $85,800 and $14,000, respectively. Moscow Urban Renewal District Executive Director Jeff Jones said, "We need to review what's being proposed before we react to it. We'll certainly draft a letter outlining our position in support or opposition to the legislation." You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow. The Friends of the Moscow Public Library have initiated a fundraiser to remodel the entrance to the library on Jefferson Street. The city allocated $125,000 for the project, and construction bids came in $65,000 more than that. I spoke to Moscow Public Library Director Anne Cheadle and Friends of the Moscow Library President Lynn McWright in front of the library yesterday about the project. Cheadle said the project started when the library was putting in a water-wise demonstration garden in front of the building.
And so we got grants and we're ready to put this garden in. And then the committee started to look at the infrastructure. And there were cracks and deterioration. There were problems with ADA compliance. There were other things that were identified as problems. So then it became an effort to get funding for the cement. And as part of that, we developed the idea of a pedestrian plaza as well as an ADA compliant entryway. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started.
And where we're standing now is not ADA compliant. Is that because of the straight ramp that goes right into the street?
As I understand it, it's because the slope of the ramp is, it goes too long without a break.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it makes it hard to stop if you have trouble stopping your wheelchair, perhaps.
Right.
Okay. So what would the new entrance look like?
The walkways will follow pretty much the route they have now, but the main entrance from the street will go up straight to the front door.
Talking Jefferson Street?
Yeah, Jefferson Street. But the exciting part is that halfway up will be this outdoor community plaza where we can have outdoor programs. We also will have railings that are ADA compliant. Right now, the spacing in the rails is too big.
Mm-hmm.
And in some places, the railings don't go next to the stairway that
right.
you're going down, so you can't hang on while you're going down. And if you notice, the stairs have crumbled edges. They mm-hmm. actually had to be closed for a while last year before the city got around to doing some patches. Mm-hmm.
So what would be included in the plaza? Benches, trees?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that it's clear that there's a ramp so that the plaza is also accessible.
There'll be a ramp directly to the plaza. One of the things that I think will delight the local high school students is there will be wireless internet access from the plaza. So people mm-hmm. can sit out here while they're waiting for
on
people.
Benches.
They can sit on benches, and there'll be the usual. Lighting will be improved mm-hmm. so that it's more user-friendly in the evenings. It's going to be just lovely.
Well, in the plaza, there's also been lots of energy around what kind of programs we could offer in the plaza, that the library itself has limited space. You were just in there and you saw that
right.
it doesn't really have a space for a crowd. Mm-hmm. But for teen programs, book clubs, we have an English conversation club, that during warm weather, there could be meetings out here. We've got someone who wants to have concerts out here, so there's a lot of excitement about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the plans for the eventual landscaping are to have it be both water-wise and pollinator-friendly demo garden, essentially, so we could also hold tutorials on the plaza using the examples that are right around it.
I see, and those might be more in this area here or something.
Yeah, well, on all sides of it.
Okay, all right. Well, tell me a little bit about the fundraising situation. The way I understand it, the city of Moscow actually owns the library, although it's called the Latah County Library.
Yeah. The city of Moscow owns the building, and mm-hmm. we have a lease for the Latah County Library District.
Okay, and so tell me about the city's funding for this project and how much it would cost and then how much you need.
I'll try to make this short. They bid the project once and the bids came back much higher. The city had budgeted $125,000 mm-hmm. and the bids were over $200,000. So the design was slightly modified. Scott Becker, a wonderful mm-hmm. man at Hodge and Associates has done now two designs for this. And so it's the second one that we're raising money for. We had a lot of input on how much they estimated the revised design would cost, and it's estimated to come in at $190,000. So what the Friends are trying to raise is the $65,000 difference. Okay. Between the city funding and the estimated project cost.
And you have a time limit?
We do. We're hoping to have, the city is hoping to have the project bid by the end of February. Mm-hmm. So we need to be able to assure them that the funding is in place by that time.
Okay. And what sort of money are you looking for? Individual contributions from wealthy Moscow members?
We are looking for. So we are contacting businesses around town, foundations, all kinds of civic organizations, and individuals. And the individuals have been wonderful so far. They're really stepping up to the plate and sending in their contributions to Friends of the Library. And for those children and adults who want to contribute, when you're at the checkout desk, there's a coin rollway collection box. It's very fun to watch your quarters or nickels or even pennies race down the rollway into the box. If you want to make a more generous contribution, there's a nice little side slot where you can insert bills or even a folded check. Go in there. And that was made for us by Greg Hughes, who's one of our very staunch friends of the library.
So when you're talking to potential individual donors, what argument seems to light up their eyes as far as, you know, why this should be funded?
I think because it's such an important community resource. The building is used as the county district library headquarters as well as the Moscow City Library. So it gets lots of traffic from people from all over the county, and some of our friends are in Pullman too. So it's a very wide use, and making it more friendly, having more friendly accessibility. Mm-hmm. To everyone is really important, and expanding the program opportunities that can be held out in front is really important too.
Do you talk about aesthetics much? How nice it would look?
We haven't spent a lot of time talking about aesthetics now. When we were first planning the Waterwise Garden, we talked a lot about the aesthetics and how lovely it would be to have plants in what's now a sort of barren wasteland space up next to the walkway in. So, yeah, that's a major factor. We want it to be inviting, appealing to everyone. We want people to feel comfortable coming and sitting, waiting for people, or browsing through the books and materials they've just taken out of the library.
And that was Friends of Moscow Library President Lynn McWright speaking about the ongoing fundraising effort to raise $65,000 to remodel the entrance to the library on Jefferson Street. You also heard Moscow Public Library Director Ann Cheadle in that interview, which took place yesterday in front of the Moscow Library. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, 50% chance of scattered rain showers before 8 p.m., then scattered snow showers, cloudy low 27, west winds 10 to 15. New snow accumulation overnight, less than an inch possible. 50% chance of snow showers tomorrow, cloudy high 30, less than half an inch of new snow possible, west winds 10 to 15. 40% chance of snow showers Thursday night, mostly cloudy, steady temperature around 27. Less than 1 inch of new snow possible. Partly sunny Friday, high 25. Partly cloudy, low 12 Friday night. Mostly cloudy Saturday and again Saturday night, high 24, low 12. And partly sunny on Sunday, high 21. Currently at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport, overcast, 38 degrees. Coming up next is Building Bridges, the weekly labor report from Pacifica Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine, also from Pacifica Radio. Emily will be in tonight to play music at 7:30 and variety of music and entertainment throughout the evening right here on KRFP Moscow. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, you can become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $25 a year. or rather $35 a year, $20 for students in low income. Mail them to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. That's RadioFreeMoscow.com or KRFP.org. You can also attend tonight's annual meeting where we'll elect officers and give awards and have a little bit of social time. That is 7 o'clock tonight at the Attic, 314 East 2nd Street in Moscow. You're tuned to Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. KRFP Moscow.